participating in these and live in person, those raffles are probably more fun, but it's also fun to see something in your email box or your mailbox. All right, then. So our next guest is coming to us from a long way away. She is coming to us. I know that Falguni is over there watching from Hong Kong, but Maura Finn is about to join us from Thailand. And just like CJ, she's done some yeoman workarounds to try to make her Wi-Fi steady and sturdy and ready for us. And one of the things that I particularly love about her is that she is able to take a far-ranging journey across the world and keep growing and evolving right before my very eyes. I've even forgotten how I met Maura, but it was over children's education. And both of us spent a lot of time in North Carolina, and we just had lots of things in common. And as she started moving across the world on a new journey, because she certainly taught in different places around the world in different programs and created really robust ways of humans being, which is one of the things I liked about the early days of Waldorf education, about humans being, not about teaching your curriculum or, God forbid, to test, right? So Maura and I have a lot of conversations, lots of things to talk about, as you can see. But she's taken that experience of education onto a much bigger platform. And now her own education has gotten her attention to the point where she's really seeking. I see her right there. She is really seeking in this world in a way that I particularly admire and respect. And we do get the occasional deep conversations in. And if those of you who have been isolated from your deep friendships lately understand what I'm talking about, it's like refueling to be able to connect with someone and receive and share with one another, correct? And so I asked Maura if she would come and talk about the integration of her life and her journey into all the many skill sets that she has. What does she make of that? And what do we call that investigation? And without further ado, I'm going to say, hey, Maura, thanks for coming.
Hi, Johnny, and hello, everyone. I am really honored to be here in my tiny little seaside bungalow. So the good news is I'm from the future. So it is now evening. And I feel my heart is already expanding just with that intro, Johnny. So thank you. And yes, there is nothing better than connection. And so today, the talk that I'm going to give has this title. It's kind of a big title. It feels like a mouthful. Creating a Sovereign Life, Integrating Passion and Purpose. And so to just give another little bit about myself, as Johnny mentioned, I've been an educator for most of my life, and I've been blessed with having taught every grade from preschool through college and adults, and worked in Guatemala for many years, wrote many curriculums, and also worked as the head of a shelter program for the unaccompanied minors coming over from Central America. And so that education was also an education for me and learning about, even more so, about trauma and the effect of trauma on the mind, on the spirit. And also it taught me a lot about resilience. And in addition to that, I also have my own practice where I work in crisis and trauma support using energy medicine as well as EFT and many other components to it. And then the underlying theme of everything is that I am a writer and a poet. And because I live such a passionate existence, sometimes it can be really overwhelming, and it definitely overwhelms other people too. And so I've taken to writing as my mode of communication and transportation. But so when it comes to how did I get to Thailand, I guess the easiest answer is that I had a meditation 10 months ago, and I was given this scene of all these different places, and I thought, okay, this is interesting. How is this going to evolve? And So when I woke up this morning, I had a trajectory image of how far I've come in these 10 months. And as Jhandi mentioned, we've actually started talking about this talk a year ago, and it has morphed and changed and undulated and the waves. But I do believe that there is a common thread that regardless of what we thought a year ago and to now is going to come forth. So the best thing that I can say is when I woke up this morning and had this image of myself in all of these different places, ranging from England, Scotland, to India, to now Thailand, I knew that there was a thread that was leading me somewhere. And I like to think that it all comes down to this phrase, that life reveals itself for those who are willing to live. So when we hear that, life reveals itself when we're willing to live, that's a pretty potent statement. And having worked in crisis and trauma with teenagers, I've often heard them say, you know, I don't want to be here. I've heard adults say, I don't want to be here. And what does that even really mean to be here? And I've had this chronic case of rootlessness and homesickness for most of my life. And I didn't know what that meant. Where do I want to live? Where is my home? So I was consistently seeking outside of myself, landing somewhere for a year or two. And then there was a moment when I realized that through all of my experiences, that I was being asked to go within over and over. I was being asked to go within my own heart and to find my truth. And there's a lot of languaging around, well, speak your truth, find your truth. And the question is, you know, how do we do that? What are the clues on this map, this internal map, this external map? And I've become quite a cartographer. Consistently rewriting the journey, rewriting the exit points, rewriting, the end points. And I guess to really be real, because I feel that that's the authenticity of being, is to say, yeah, I have not just all of a sudden woken up and yes, I'm on this 10-month journey and I'm living this life that I love so much in a place that finally feels safe to me and feels home. I cried, I tapped, I breathed, I screamed, I yogaed, I can't even tell you all the modalities in which I had dabbled in. And I always was asking for clarity. I just want clarity. I want clarity. There's this constant fog, like, help me, help me, help me. Who am I even saying help to anymore? And then I got still. I surrendered to any desire to have an outside force tell me what it was that I needed to do, who I needed to be. Now that's a great unraveling. We are conditioned. We see it all the time as much as we want to fight it. And I finally validated my own existence. Maybe that was the seed. Maybe that was the final moment when I decided I deserve to be here. I want to be here. And what can I gain from this? But then in that validation, I then got really still. And in that stillness, my heart was cracked open. And the portal became death. Death became the portal and grief became the portal as I lost in the physical being my greatest soul companion, which was actually my dog. It was a beautiful golden retriever named Blue. And to me, the safety was the unconditional love that he showed me, that he was my support through so much over a decade. And yet I also resonated with the fact that this was a physical death, but it was asking me if I was willing to hear, how much more am I willing to let go of, and what death in my life am I allowing to happen? And so many things started to be released and drain away. And when I was at this lowest point, which I thought, wow, aren't we always going to go through these dark nights, that the word sovereign came to me. And I realized that just as the grief was the invitation, if I entered that portal, the other invitation was on the other side, and that was sovereignty. And when we hear the word sovereign, we often think, well, at least I do, something political, a king and a queen, they're sovereign, a kingdom is sovereign, or a piece of land is sovereign. But what does it really mean to embody that? to be a sovereign individually. So that began my journey this last 10 months, was to really uncover and to formulate a definition, but without defining anything, because it was already what it was, but to really begin to embody my truth. And to be sovereign, thus, does not mean to be separate. It's actually quite the opposite. So as we give this idea of sovereignty in government or political or whatever it might be, it's seen as we are separate, we don't follow the rules or have to get engage in that. I see it as having three components. The first component is to know what you stand for in your own integrity. The second component is to excavate all of the knowledge that you've garnered, that you've gained through all of the systems that you've learned in your life, and integrate it so that it becomes wisdom. And then the third part is to be humbled enough to accept and acknowledge that you really don't know all that you thought that you knew. So in that, it becomes this incredible journey from the head to the heart. Sometimes that's the longest journey. And with all of the emotions and feelings that come along with that, they become the roadmaps. And you become more discerning about what resonates with you, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And just another side story, when I was working with the teenagers, I often asked the question, what do you need? And it would blow them away. You know, they'd look at me and I don't know. And I don't know was often the common thread. And I said, okay, so let's take a step back. What do you feel in your body? You know, what would you want someone to say to you in this experience, in this situation? And that was another entry point for them. Because to ask someone, what do you need? And to have an answer, I don't know, then we know that that's an entry point to go back to, well, how do I want to know this? How do I want to experience it? And where is the wisdom? Then after we begin to discern what resonates with us, we're able to integrate our life. And then we have to maybe have forgiveness for all that isn't aligned. And so forgiveness plus compassion became the key for me to reach my own embodiment, to reclaim my capacity and my ability to merge my passion and my mission. So when I think about mission, as a child, we have the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What's your 10-year plan? What are you going to study? What's your mission? What's your goal? What's your job? How can you exist that way? And as I've unraveled all of these layers, I've started to recognize that my mission is just to be me. So much what John Dee said is to be all of me. My messiness, my sadness, my anger, integrating the shadow, integrating the light of who I am, and becoming this holistic version of the gift that my life has been given and the gift that I've chosen to accept, which then brings me back to being in the gift of a human body. And embodiment to me has, you know, a myriad of information. I grew up as an athlete. I was a collegiate athlete. So I was playing field hockey and just really, really hard on my body, actually. And so you would think, oh, that person's embodied. You know, she moves, she dances, she's on the ground, she's got balance. But it was that multi-layers that I needed to then bring my truth in so that I could excavate and take out that which was no longer a part of me. So if our mission then is to find and be all that we are, then that becomes the seed in which we can resurrect ourselves from the inside out, from within. So we allow that grief to be the portal. I had a therapist once, she was absolutely fantastic, and she gave me an equation, and it's probably the only equation that has ever really made sense to me, apart, you know, no algebraic equation. And it's loss plus change equals grief. And I have to revisit that often, because that is what we are in consistently in our lives. And as a collective, as a globe, as a world, we are in this collective grief, this loss plus change, and that's grief. And so, what can we do? It's a compassionate portal for us to dive within in the best way that we can, in the best way that we can be capable. And then we can realize that we have this bigger capacity to create the change. Now, I guess sometimes when I tell the story of how I've traveled so much in my life and lived in different countries and places, sometimes it doesn't resonate with someone because they're like, well, I can't leave. I can't do this. And can't is the only word that prevents us from moving forward. But there are specific circumstances that don't allow that to happen. And so I also want to acknowledge that the internal journey is just as intense and rich as the external journey. And as I've been traveling into these other countries, and most of them I can't speak the language, I often recognize that I can smile. And that can break a barrier. It can break a boundary. But now that we're all wearing masks and it's covering our mouth, there's no capacity for us to just be like, yeah, see, I see you. I'm not intimidating. Let's connect this way. And so we've been maybe required to smile with our eyes. And, you know, the old adage, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And so it allows us to show our raw, impassioned selves and still find connection. So we cannot be sovereign if we don't know who we are. And we cannot be with ourselves if we don't know ourselves. So there's so many layers of that. And I want to just give another equation. It's a simple one. And it's just actually 3 points, much like loss plus change equals grief. So again, I'm going to repeat. Life will reveal itself for those who are willing to live. So the first step is willingness. It's willingness to co-create. It's willingness to accept. The second step is the intention. What is it that you intend? What is it you're reaching for that you're willing to move in the direction of? And the third step is right action, because that's all we can do is the next step, the next right action. And then we can open up, and then we can recognize that as within, so without, our internal world begins to be mirrored in the external world. And we seek that's what's reflected back to us. So another component is this experiential learning. I'm a huge fan of it. I love Montessori method. I love Reggio Emilio, Waldorf. And I can't show you something you don't already know, but I can also help you remember that which is already within you. And so when you think back to being a child, if you were ever told to get your head out of the clouds or to stop dreaming, I'm going to put a full stop to all of that. At least I have in my own life. And I want to say, please, please return to your dreams. Return to dreaming in the life you want, the world you want, because if we collectively can create a force of energy for that change, we can create a sovereign world with sovereign individuals who then form unity. And that takes the entire aspect of sovereignty being about separateness to bringing us together. And as we look at how we are all on this platform together, we're speaking with energy, we're speaking with intention and the willingness. So what I would love is to create an opportunity for you to have an experience so that perhaps there is a seed that has been planted deep within you that's willing to come forth today, that's willing to be seen. And because we are now all experiencing lack of touch if we are living alone, and we're not able to reach out to those we love, we're not able to experience being held. And one of the, I don't know if you can remember back to John Dee's email about this entire SEE event, but she mentioned something about how do we hold each other? You know, how do we as those who are of service, be of service to others, to hold them in their pain and grief and hold ourselves. And I'm going to just pull on, I believe it's an Eden energy activity, but it's something that we used to do in Guatemala every morning as educators. So when all the teachers would get together, we would sit in our circle, and I believe it's called Cook's Hook. And so I invite you all now to just take your arms out in front of you, the backs of your hands facing each other, and then taking the right hand, placing it over the left hand, and creating, clasping the hands together, and then pulling in towards your heart. And as you press your hands into that heart space, just notice what that feels like for the left side and the right side of the brain to come together, for there to be a pulling in of your own energy. And if it's safe and available to close your eyes, I'd like to walk us through an experience. So we'll begin by taking three breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Beginning now, inhaling and exhale through the mouth. Deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And one more time, breathing in and breathing out. Noticing how you're showing up right now in your body, in your mind, your emotions. On the next inhale, bringing your attention up above your head. And as you exhale, visualizing, imagining, intending a beautiful golden rope or cord or ribbon, letting it drop into the crown of your head, making its way down your spine, one vertebra at a time, until it reaches your tailbone. And then letting it drop like an anchor into the ground below you, until it reaches the earth. And then moving even further through the layers of the earth, the water comes after the dirt, and then finally to the fiery center, the core of the earth. On your next breath, giving yourself permission to release any thoughts, words, feelings, emotions, experiences, all the way down that cord into the fire. And it may look like a moving images through your eye, your mind's eye. Maybe it'll be physical. Just releasing it all. Allowing it to be transmuted and transformed in the fire. And then giving intention and thought to what it is you'd like to call in to your being. Maybe it's courage, patience, compassion, love. And as you inhale, pulling that up from the fire, bringing it up through the bottoms of your feet, all the way up through your body into your heart, and up to your divine mind. Inhale and exhale as you drop even deeper into the heart. And either choosing to keep your hands clasped or unclasp them and just gently placing them over your heart, feeling any warmth that was created. And dropping into that space now. Maybe there's a landscape. Maybe it's just a sensation. And asking for a seed that is willing and ready to be acknowledged, something that is the first step towards creating your sovereignty, the life that you are longing for. Maybe a symbol presents itself, an image, a word. And as you connect even deeper with that, breathe it in and out. And in that stillness, that precious pause, asking this seed, what is the next right action for you? For it is only yours to make. It is only yours to decide. Taking another deep breath in. Big exhale through your mouth. And then even if something came forth, and if something came forth, finding gratitude, the energy, the essence of gratitude, just for your body, for being here right now. Allowing that gratitude to flow like liquid love through your entire body. Nourishing you from the inside out. Reminding you that you are not alone. Taking one more breath in. Exhaling it out. And then slowly bringing your hands back down to your lap, clenching your fist and squeezing as you breathe in. Exhale as you release your fingers, beginning to call yourself back to this present moment, gathering up all that you'd like to bring with you and leaving everything else behind. Maybe wiggling your toes, your fingers, taking a stretch. And when you feel ready, very gently and slowly bringing yourself back by opening your eyes and perhaps seeing everything in front of you with new eyes. New sight. So welcome back. If you'd like to place something in the chat box, what you experienced or how you're feeling, please do so. And I have one more offering I'd like to share before we do some questions and answers. And as I told you that I am a poet, and a few words you might have heard resonating throughout this sovereign seed, resurrection, death. And I was awoken in the middle of the night on April 6th. And sometimes this is how it rolls. And it's like, get the pen, get the paper. Ah! And so a new poem came through. And the title is Resurrection. And I would love to share it with you. Sometimes it can be visual, so if you'd like to close your eyes again, you may. Otherwise, you know, just do what feels good to you. And the title is Resurrection. By wind or messenger, the seed was dropped, thus inadvertently planted between the tight confines of restriction and ill placement. An act of love nurtured the hardened bits into a cocoon of tender warmth, incubating what lie within, still unknown to the outer world. The tight casing causing conflict and remorse, perhaps even resentment and rage. How is it possible for growth when pressed into the concrete castle of a home? When pressed into the deeply unfamiliar terrain of breath and blood? When separated? In the darkness of this void, unaware of the alchemical process of pressurized transmutation, the seed waits and imagines, and sometimes screams out with discontent and fear, How could this have happened? Where is the freedom in becoming something more when placed in the location of original choice, without the choice to leave at will? When the surrender is a simple white flag of giving up control while still believing that control is the enemy of existence, simply forcing the confinement. The duality of choice once again placed in the hands of the Creator. Is it the seed? Is it what is within the seed? Is it that which dispersed the seed in the first place? And so the death comes as a song, a sigh of relief. The rattling and shaking within the shell slows, and the next choice, and only the next choice, is to wait and see. The changes can only come while in this body. In this body, the changes can be made from the inside out. Through the crack, the seed has no choice but to fully arrive into its blessed bloom, its fullest potential. Bloom where you are planted. For it is only when reduced to the seed of your divine essence can you grow into your fullest magnificence. The God spark is you, and you are the seed and the encasing. There is no waiting for the other to come and pull you from your soil. Resurrect now. In this life, in this body, you have been called to your embodiment, to dance your way home, to sing your way home, to live your way home, to love your way home. The mystery of life is to find the little deaths and breathe them back into being. Thank you so much for receiving.
That was splendid, and I hope you are going to enjoy the flying chat box. It's taken off, and it's exploded. And in the words of the immortal Dolly Parton, wildflowers don't care where they grow. And I thank you.
Where do I go with this?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that you're going to continue to go and grow and bless us all. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Everyone, in just a moment, we're going to be bidding Maura good night in Thailand so she can go to bed. And I'm going to be bringing another friend of the community, Helena Berggren, up in just a moment. Because we have such a jam-packed day today, I'm trying hard to get a few things done. We will be having lunch. It will be just a little bit